This is the Afternoon Magazine on AM 580 and online at WILL.URUC.EDU. Good afternoon, I'm Celeste Quinn. Here it is, the first Friday of July. So dog trainers Jim Keel and Carol Lindholm are here. They're with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us once a month on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs, dog care, behavior, and training. And they are happy to take your telephone calls. Your questions are invited. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Jim and his wife, Robin, raise beautiful Malamutes. And Carol, she has two pups at the moment, Andy and Robbie.
Yes.
And Robbie is a golden, and
Andy is a dude.
A dude. I want to call her a snickerdoodle, but that's not right.
Golden doodle.
A golden doodle. Okay, very good. So there you have it. So how is everybody?
I'm fine. How about you, Jim?
There are clouds in my coffee.
I think that would make a nice lyric, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I'm fine.
How are the dogs, Jim?
The dogs are all fine, all of them.
Good.
Let's see. Yes, all of them. Some are getting old.
Hmm.
Tom, for example, the house dog.
Oh,
the
guard
dog. I come home yesterday a little earlier than normal, but a half hour, nothing spectacular. Tom, I think when I stepped over him, he opened one eye. Oh, it's you. And then he just went back to sleep.
Yeah.
So
we all showed last weekend.
That's right, at the
and it was so hot, and I was so grateful that the show was where it was, because as soon as we finished showing, I could take him home, since there was no need for me to come back for any reason. But we toughed it out.
You didn't win, in
That's
other words.
Right. Reading between the
home
lines.
Home with the losers.
Yes.
Now, this weekend, an event coming up in Tuscola.
Yes, yes. Tuscola, Douglas County, is in desperate need of a animal shelter. They've got one, but it's certainly far from adequate or sufficient. And tomorrow morning at 8:30 in Irvin Park, they're going to have a patriotic pup parade, which sounds so cute. And I think the registration fee is $10, and they've got all these games. Andy and I are going to enter the lookalike contest. I'm not going to comb my hair in the morning, so we should win easily.
Did you comb it today?
Yes, I did. You told me I look nice.
No.
Celeste
told you you look nice.
So they've got a variety of different games and events and the parade, and it's from 8:30 to 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, and all the money will go towards helping Douglas County build an animal shelter, which they need desperately.
Okay.
So there's a group of us from Champaign that are going down there to help them out, and it's a good cause.
Yeah. Speaking of shelters, how are things at the Champaign County?
Things are absolutely fine at the Champaign County Humane Society.
Very good.
Very fine. That's where Andy came from, by the way.
Yeah.
My little golden doodle.
Yeah.
For anybody listening out there, she did not come out of the paper. She came from the shelter because she shed.
So. She shed? How odd for a dog.
Yeah. Golden doodles.
Well, they're touted. The Labradoodles, yes. Golden doodles are touted as non or low shedding. I'm here to tell you, she sheds a lot. A lot. Gives that new vacuum cleaner a good workout.
So it's from it just depends on the individual dog.
I think it might, but I truly have to believe that people that buy into that, I'm going to call it a fallacy, that dogs don't shed. They do. Their hair has to go somewhere. Now her hair will need to be cut or maintained, but you know, we shed our hair. We don't think of ourselves as shedding animals, but we do. So they do shed.
But it seems we don't shed as much hair.
That's a good thing.
They have fur.
Yeah.
Look at your shower soap, please.
Yeah. You got to clean out the the drain at the end of the day.
Yeah. So any fur-bearing animal is going to shed some hair. It has to.
Now, here's a dog question, though. Are there some breeds that shed less than others?
Oh, yeah. By all means. There are breeds that shed less than others. But for people that are totally opposed to any type of dog hair in their house, they shouldn't get one, because it's just going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I can.
Well, dogs have millions of little hairs on their bodies, and, you know, one or two are bound to fall off every minute or so. But there are dogs that shed seasonally. Malamutes are a good example.
Huge sheds.
But the Malamute, around May, when the weather starts to get warm, most of them will, they have this big coat, they'll lose most of the coat. Now, they don't lose all of it.
They're not bald or anything, but they have to reduce volume.
The new coat has been growing in underneath, and you haven't seen it.
And it pushes the old hair out.
Pushes the old hair out, and we take the dogs out in the backyard, put them on the grooming table. We have a dog dryer, which is pretty powerful, and we don't wash them or anything. We just turn the dryer on them, and it looks like it's snowing.
Yeah, well, one of the dogs we had growing up was a mix of collie and husky, I think. And in the springtime, we'd be out playing with her. She'd be running, and it would just, like, little clouds.
I know. And the birds just love that. Yeah. They use it for their nests. Oh, yeah. They're so happy. They'll hang around and wait for big tufts to come along.
Was it a Malamute?
I don't remember.
Because then it would have been a melancholy. Don't look
walked
at me like
right
that.
Right into that one, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. That was pretty good, Jim.
Thank you.
But it's okay.
The old jokes are the best, I think.
Yeah, it is an old one.
They're very old. Let me get a plug in.
Yes.
Oh, do we have a caller?
No. Not at the moment. I was going to invite callers, but go ahead.
We're having such a pleasant time chatting here. What do we need callers for?
What are you going to plug?
The agility trial at the dog training club.
That's why you've got your PDA out.
Yeah, I keep. You think I could remember July 22nd, but I can't. So it's July 22nd and 23rd at our building on Harrison Ford Road.
That probably annoys people that live out there more than we could probably ever know. That's our pet name for our road out there.
What is the real name of that
Ford road? Harris Road.
Ford Harris, okay. Agility.
Agility trial. It'll start about 9 o'clock and go till it ends, but usually 2 or 3 in the afternoon. It's at our building, training building. It's a limited entry.
But it's fun to come and watch.
Yeah, the most advanced classes are not shown, but it's a lot of fun. It's an air-conditioned building, so we don't have to worry about.
What does limited?
It's a limited entry.
Mean?
I forgot what the class. The general classes are open, and novice are the only classes that are entered.
And these are the guys that are just starting out and getting their first legs, and it is enjoyable to come and watch that.
And everybody who
gets you inspired
has been
to do something
has said they had a good time.
I've never heard anybody say other
I've
than
never
that.
Never heard a complaint.
I've heard great time too.
Okay.
Great time? Yeah. Somewhere between good and great.
Even those of us that
are not bad.
No.
Inured to the whole thing. I always have a good time. You have a good time when you're around dog people. They're good people.
What do you say we take a call?
Ooh,
sure.
Yeah.
Perhaps we're gonna talk with a dog person. In Mattoon on line 4. Hi.
Hi. Yes, I have a question. We just acquired a dachshund who is just a year old this month. We've just had her about 3 weeks. We got her from my husband's nephew who couldn't spend enough time with her and had her caged up quite a bit. And he lives by himself, and he just realized he just didn't have the time with her. So I called his mother and told her that we were looking for a dachshund, and she said that, he was having trouble potty training her and just didn't have enough time with her, and would we be interested in taking his dog? And so we did. But anyway, my question is, she's very kind of a hyper little dog, and I wondered if that is a result of being pinned up a lot, over the past 8 months or however long he had her. And also, she likes everybody except my husband. And my husband, as soon as he walks in the door, she barks at him, and her tail's between her legs, and it's kind of weird that he's the only one that she doesn't like, and I wondered, if you had any ideas about that.
Well,
go ahead.
I had one idea.
Mm-hmm.
Does he have an opportunity? Does she let him pet her?
He's tried. In fact, I've kind of held her and you know.
Yeah, that's not a good thing. What does she do when he comes, when he makes contact with her?
She runs away. Or if I'm holding her, I mean, she wants out of my arms.
Yeah. I'll give you one suggestion, and Jim, I'm sure, has some good ones too, but I would turn over all the feeding responsibilities to your husband. He'll be the one to feed her, give her all her treats.
Mm-hmm.
So she looks at...
He's not home, you know, a lot.
No, but, you know, when you feed her in the evening, right. Let him feed her in the evening.
Yeah, now he has taken her out a couple times and a few times. And if he's on the floor and wants to play with her, she just, you know, is up on the couch and barking. And she just, I don't know, she just doesn't seem to care for him.
When he comes home, where is he coming home from?
Well, he farms, but he also has a commodity office, and so he's in there part time. So he's gone during the day usually.
Okay.
Well, he's home in the evening.
I was hoping he worked in a chemical plant or something,
dog stand. I don't know why that was going through my mind.
So that when he comes home, he's covered
with a smell or something.
Yeah, well, in the some alarming odor that we can't, you know, smell, but the dog can. If he's farming, you know, unless he's spraying himself when he's working the fields, which is highly unlikely, that probably.
I think you just give her some time too. It's only bad. They've only had her 3 weeks.
Yeah,
right.
It's a little unusual. She'd pick out one person.
Yeah, I know.
Don't pick her up.
Yeah, don't do that anymore.
In fact, what you should do is go over to your husband and hold him and touch him, and you talk in a high-pitched, friendly voice to him.
To my husband.
To your husband,
well,
right?
We've even tried that.
And it hasn't worked. I can't believe it.
Hugging in front of the dog.
Yeah, no, that'll help over time.
Okay.
But picking her up can be a kind of reward. It's hard to say unless we...
Or it could make her feel confined and she can't get away because she struggles to get down.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's not a... You don't want her to have that feeling.
She does this only when he comes home. Or when he's sitting watching TV, does she bark at him?
If I'm not in the room or my son's not in the room, she will sit by him in the chair.
Mm-hmm.
He's a kind of a last resort. But as far as jumping in his lap or coming up to him, wagging her tail, she won't do that.
It sounds like if she does it mainly when he comes home, there's something that's distressing her when he comes home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or when he's in the house.
If she'll come up to him at other times, maybe not in a friendly way, overly friendly way, but then it's something about the greeting. And that's why I thought if he had a foreign odor or something like that.
Yeah, no.
Carol's idea is
I think that would
probably
try that.
Right on. Just have him start feeding her. Mm-hmm. Nobody else can give her treats, only him.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean you can't praise her and all that. But then you say to your husband, oh, she was so good, give her a treat. So that whatever she's good, he's the one that she has to turn to.
Mm-hmm.
Also, give her a little while to adjust. I'm not real familiar with dachshunds. My uncles and one of my brothers had dachshunds a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of guardy kind of dogs.
Mm-hmm. Independent.
Yeah. Okay. If your job was to go into a hole with a badger in it, you'd be independent, too, because badgers is mean.
How old is your son, by the way?
17.
Oh, so he's perceived as an adult in her eyes, too.
Yes, uh-huh. We thought, well, maybe it was my husband's voice, but, you know, she was raised with a boy about 22 and with a deep voice, and he's tall like my husband, so... You know, there's not a lot of difference there, so I don't, you know.
Maybe you could have her food outside when he walks in. He just puts her food down.
Yeah, if everybody else is low-key or almost not in the picture when he comes home and he's her...
Yeah, he's her
provider.
He's her provider.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, dogs have these fear periods. And she transitioned. And sometimes they just focus on one thing mm-hmm. that will scare them. And during that period of transition, she left the home she'd known since she was a puppy. I'm assuming he got her as a puppy and came to your home. And there may have been something that first day that just mm-hmm. stuck in her head. Mm-hmm. And it's just going to take a little while to work it through. And it could be something very innocuous. You'd never attach any significance to it. But
we had a dog years ago that was afraid of men with beards and deep voices.
Hmm.
And I'll tell you, we could never figure out why.
Yeah.
She had never had any negative experience at all, mm-hmm. let alone with men with deep voices. But somehow she got it in her head that that was a problem.
Mm-hmm.
All I could say in addition is she's a year old. I wouldn't worry about it too much until she's, you know, two
mm-hmm.
and not really a puppy anymore.
That's what we thought.
Yeah, and tell your husband not to take it personally.
Yeah, no. Well, he's not, but
there is another.
He sees him that he's the only one that she doesn't like.
if there's another dog, if you can go to get another dog in the house that's friendly toward him
mm-hmm.
and or a neighbor or somebody with a dog that's friendly toward him, you can have her there. He can pet this dog and go over it and give it treats while in her presence. And that will start to make her a little bit jealous.
Oh.
And so she'll say, oh, this dog isn't afraid. This dog's getting food. What about me? You know.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
That would help if you could have that. That's usually when we have a dog that's kind of shy. Of course, we have enough dogs, so we can always have another dog that we can ignore the shy dog and play up to this one and then the shy dog starts coming around a little
mm-hmm.
bit. But you could try that if you could find another dog.
And, you know, I thought of something else. Don't, if your husband wants to give her treats, don't have her come to him for the treat. Just let him toss her a treat so we're not causing her additional stress by having to do something for
mm-hmm.
it. Just, you know, he can just walk past her, drop a little treat on the floor,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, make it as easy for her as you can.
Right. Well, we'll try those suggestions.
Okay.
I appreciate your time.
Keep hugging your husband, too.
Yeah.
That's always a good thing. Yeah, it's a good thing.
I will.
Right. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. And maybe in a month, we'll get a good
maybe
report.
She'll call back. Yeah, but dogs just...
It takes a while, too. I think.
Sometimes things just hit them the wrong way, and you don't know what it is.
Yeah.
I know that. Now, this is when Robbie was a puppy, maybe 6-7 months old. He just turned 5, believe it or not. We were walking through the neighborhood, and some people moved in. They had a big, old yellow lab. I think I told the story once before. And Robbie went trotting up to him to say hi, and they're saying hi to each other. And this big yellow lab put his right leg and paw over Robbie's shoulders. Well, that's a sign of dominance. And Robbie did not like that. He made it clear. To this day, if we walk past the house, if he sees that dog, he gets all bent out of shape. And that, you know, it's not any yellow lab. It's this yellow lab. It's that dog's house. And I just find it so, you know, to me, it's just remarkable that he can remember something that happened 4.5 years ago, but it had a significant impact on him. So another dog it could happen to and that wouldn't bother them in the least. But for some reason, at that particular moment and that day, it bothered him.
Yeah. Well, my husband and I, we adopted a cat back in February, 5-year-old cat from the Humane Society. Lovely, lovely guy. We love him very much.
We saw his picture. He's beautiful.
And when we brought him home, he took to us right away, but he was a little skittish when we did certain things. And you just have to work through it. It just takes time. And one of the things that I think we kind of figured out was that if he was down on the floor and you suddenly came through the room, he got a little skittish. And he was in, at the shelter, he was in one of the lowest...
The cat cages on the
cages.
Lower level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he was back in the room where it's like right next to the room where they're not right next to one another, but the dogs were always going, you know. So there was a lot... It's pretty noisy in there. So you have people coming through, and it's loud, and there he is, you know, down low, and so that's what we.
That's probably a fairly good
That's a good guess,
idea of what
maybe.
Happens, sure.
Yeah, so. But that's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, they can work through a lot, yeah. But it's just remarkable how their little brains work.
Yeah. This is the Afternoon Magazine, and we're talking about dogs this afternoon with Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel of the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us once a month on the first Friday of the month to talk about dogs, dog care, behavior, and training. If you'd like to talk with us, give us a call. The number in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, toll-free 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. You mentioned the dog show last weekend, mm-hmm. and it was so hot.
Oh, yes, it was.
One of the problems that can crop up with dogs in when it gets that hot is the skin irritation, hot spots.
Yeah, we'll start to see those.
What can you do to prevent them?
Anytime.
In
oh,
the
really?
Winter,
it's,
really.
Yeah, it's not from the heat.
Although heat and humidity can...
They'll start one.
Can do it, yeah.
But I know that Robbie had one last fall, and I'm going to watch for it again this fall because I'm convinced that it's seasonally induced. He likes to roll in the fall, around August, September. He'll go out and he'll roll in the grass because he's itchy, and I'm thinking that he's got, not hay fever, but he's got something that the grasses are producing that he's responding to, and a hot spot. He's not the most stoic creature on the planet, but I knew he had a hot spot because it was on his left rear flank, and it was just, and he's got long hair. It was just a size of a dime, but the only reason I knew he had it is he was in agony. It hurts. They hurt, and he just stood there with his head down and just look at me and is like, I hurt so bad, and I went over and they grow. Well, you've had experience with them too. If you don't start to treat them right away, the next day, it could have been his whole flank. It just, they're terrible.
Just so people know what a hot spot is, it's kind of a staph infection on the skin. Dog's skin has no pores, so it's pretty vulnerable. That's why they have coats. But if moisture gets down to the skin layer and if the coat keeps it in there, that's why hot, humid weather can
start it off.
Exacerbate
yeah.
it in any event. You can get a staph infection, and the skin's reaction is to start oozing this kind of pussy kind of material, and it can spread. Some dogs are really subject to these, and some aren't. We've had dogs that Greg, for example, he would get hot spots on his head and his face where you would think normally dogs don't because the hair is so short, the moisture mm-hmm. really can't build up. But it does, and they spread very quickly.
So you got to keep an eye
on them. Oh,
yeah. Got to keep an eye on them.
There's some, you know, I'm a firm believer in going to the vet. I'm not real fond of home remedies, but I always do keep some medicated powder on hand.
Medicated powder.
To keep it dry.
Like Gold Bond or something?
Gold Bond or almonds or one of those, but I always keep that until I can get to a vet. At least I can curtail the growth of it. But they are painful. I mean, you could tell that Robbie was, he hurt. He cried. I put him in the car, I took him to the vet, and he's whimpering. And he'd never done that before, so I knew it was very painful. And they'll try to chew on it, which makes it worse.
Because of the saliva. You can wash it off.
And because it hurts.
Well, yeah. It is. If you wash it off, you really have to get it dry.
Mm-hmm. And dry it with a hair dryer.
Because it's cool.
It's exactly. Mm-hmm. It's the moisture that's causing everything. So if you wash it with antifungal soap, that's fine. But the antifungal will go away, and the water stays, and the staff.
It's high maintenance, but it's if you can get in and get help quickly, they usually give them antibiotics.
Antibiotics and steroids.
Mm-hmm.
Will
that
help
takes
a lot.
The pain down,
yeah. mm-hmm. And then they don't bother it, and then it goes down. But there's. The medicated powder is probably
that's why
one of the better things you can do.
Especially with a heavy-coated dog. If they're wet, you need to dry them.
Dry them, okay. Let's talk with another listener. Caller in Urbana on line one. Hi.
Yes, I was calling because we're a two-cat, two-dog family, but we've added another cat, a kitten. And I just wasn't sure if you had any recommendations for introducing the new kitten to the dogs?
We should let Celeste answer this one.
Boy, I have never.
I think it's easier to introduce a kitten to dogs than to the other cats.
I have to agree.
Yeah.
But
the dogs are already used to cats.
Yeah. I would put the dogs around cats. Yeah, I put the dogs on leads anyway, so they can't attack it. But our philosophy is we let the cats just attack the dogs because dogs, you know, once they think, gee, I can't, you know, this is a fierce animal, they're, for the rest of their lives, they'll never change their mind. You know, when we do it, we just put the cat, if it's a kitten, we put it on the couch and say, hey, here, Fido, look, it's a kitten. And then we keep a real good eye on the dog.
Uh-huh.
And we let them sniff, that kind of thing. If they do anything that looks like they want to hurt it, you know, they get a pop on the lead and a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
But if... Normally, if the dogs are already used to cats, that shouldn't be the problem.
No, it'd be the cats and the
kitten. I'd worry about the cats more.
Oh, we have one cat that we keep them separated in different rooms right now. And one of the cats, when she smells the kitten, she starts hissing on the other side of the door.
Yeah, I bet the dogs are a lot more receptive, weren't they?
The dogs are a lot more friendlier.
Yeah, because a new cat isn't going to disrupt the social order that the dogs have set up, but it is going to upset the cat's social order. And, you know, one cat may be dominant, but suddenly there's three, and now they've got to reestablish the social order. For the dogs, it's another one of those non-dog creatures.
Right. Okay, thank you so much.
But introduce it slowly, you know, but I wouldn't worry too much. Just keep an eye on the dogs and make sure they don't want to hurt it.
Oh, okay.
That's the only thing you have to worry about.
Will do. Thank you.
You're very welcome. There's a woman who has been on the program, and she has a hyphenated name, and I don't remember if it's Johnson Bennett or Bennett Johnson. Her first name is Pam. She's written a book called Think Like a Cat, which is a very good guide to cats. And she's also written a book about...
I think it's Bennett Johnson.
Bennett Johnson, okay. And she's also written a book about bringing another cat into the house when you've already got a cat or cats. And a lot of good information there, and I'm sure it's available at the library if you want to take a look at it. Yeah, that's tough.
I would much rather introduce another dog than introduce a cat to other cats.
Yeah, they're very
territorial. Yeah. You know, I'm sure you have the occasional cat that just loves other cats, and we have the communal cat rooms at the shelter, and, you know, those are for friendly cats.
Oh,
that,
here it is.
Is it Bennett Johnson?
Johnson Bennett.
Oh, well, 50-50 chance.
It's called Cat Versus Cat, Keeping Peace When You Have More Than One. So, and she also wrote Think Like a Cat, which I think is a very, very nice book. Also, she's the author of Twisted Whiskers.
Oh, now I know who she is.
Yeah, she's very
Twisted
good.
Twisted Whiskers is a classic.
She's a very good cat
Is that where
person.
The band came from?
No. Twisted Whiskers. That book's been around for a long time. Cat Behavior.
Twisted Sisters.
Yeah, that's who he's thinking of. I know Shelley used to sit in the window, and if a cat, and cats seem to attract other cats, and cats would jump up on the ledge, and she'd scream and yowl, and the other cats would urinate on the window. I'm like, ugh.
It depends on the chemistry between the two cats, because sometimes they get along just fine, and other times it's like.
Yeah, introducing a kitten to a household that has never had cats and you've got two dogs, then you really have to be vigilant. That's where you'd run into a problem. I would have a problem with that.
It's easier to introduce a kitten to a puppy also because a kitten or a cat can really beat up a puppy. So the puppy gets the idea or very early in life, oh, those cats are mean. I'm going to leave them alone.
I would laugh every morning because Shelley would, for some reason, she wanted to drink out of the dog's water bowl. And they would sit a respectful distance away from her, and she would sit there and drink her water, and then she'd wash her face and just look at them like, don't even think about coming over here. And they'd wait. They respected her. She had no claws. They would not. She was the queen. Mm. It was very entertaining to watch.
Other questions about dogs are invited this afternoon here on the Afternoon Magazine. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Any classes?
Well, we just started class. I canceled. Did you cancel Monday night, too?
I wanted it, but the class outvoted me.
Well, I canceled mine Monday night because I had other things to do, but that would have been the third week. And I'm back to teaching, and I can't tell you how happy I am to be back. I really missed it.
I tricked her into taking a class last month. Right after the show last month, we went out, and we were talking about classes. I was teaching, too, and Carol said, oh, maybe I should
go back to teaching.
So I called the director of training. Get Carol, take my second class.
So I'm teaching, and I hadn't taught for almost a year, and I'm really glad to be back. And I have got the most delightful group of people and dogs you could hope for. They're just wonderful. And I just broke the news to Jim that I'm going to go in his class at 8 o'clock. Because I told them that I challenged myself to go ahead and get my canine good citizenship test with Andy, with them, and pass it.
Mm. Now, where is Andy in terms of her training?
Pretty far down the scale. She's like the shoemaker's kids that have no shoes. I find everything she does to be amusing and funny. In actuality, they're not. But to me, they are. So, yes, we...
Some work to do.
Yeah, we've got some work to do.
Yeah. So how long does it take to get your good citizen...
We offer that at the end of our 10-week home companion course. We offer it. Some dogs, you know, depending on their age level, depending on the time people can spend with them, depending on what their... Their experience has been some dogs can do it just fine. Others need to take it more than once. They might need to repeat a class. So there's, you know, we offer it, and that's the way I term it.
Let's take another
What's
call.
That look for?
Call.
Another call. A listener in Urbana on line one. Good afternoon. Hello? Line one? Well, we'll come back to line one. Let's go next to... No, we're not going to go there either, apparently. I don't know. What's up? Well, let me give the phone numbers once again. 333-9455, 800-222-9455. We don't have things quite lined up. In the meantime, we can go to Jim. What were you about to say?
Last night, you were talking about everything the dog does you find funny. I was training Kurt in the novice class, and we were doing a recall. Told him to stay, went out, turned around. And the look on his face just made me laugh. And I don't know why. That was what I was thinking. I started laughing. And, of course, then I forgot Kurt's name. And
and he laughed at you.
And so I'm standing there laughing like an idiot. And the instructor, Carol, is saying, call your dog. Call your dog. And I'm going,
I can't think of his name.
Well, I remembered it eventually, but it was.
Did he stay?
No, he didn't. He saw me laughing, and he said, oh, let me in on the joke.
Yeah, you know, and I told my class that, too. You've got to have a sense of humor. You have to. Otherwise, it's number one, no fun. And if you're training, like, you know, if you're laughing and having a good time, that's fine. If you're getting ticked off and mad, that's not. Then you stop and put your priorities back in place.
I kicked him, you know, for coming when I didn't call him, but...
It
was a friendly.
He's kidding.
No, that was just a joke.
No.
No, I laughed so hard. And the dog came up to me and I said, oh, good dog, good dog. And he's going, what are you doing, buddy?
So anyway, yeah, fun.
The big time trainer can't stop laughing at his dog. And it was just the goofiest look he had on his face. I just.
Yeah.
Well, what do you say we try again?
Okay. Oh, certainly.
For a call. Line one, listener in Champaign. Hi.
Hi. I have my wife and I have a dog. She's a pit bull mix, and we adopted her from the Humane Society about 6 months ago. She probably just turned two, though we didn't have a birthday party for her. She was I guess neglected and abused before we got her, and so they said she had food anxiety. We really calmed her down with that, but she has been recently. Very disobedient towards my wife. Now, with me, for the most part, she's okay, although she is definitely a limit tester. But recently on walks, she's been having these strange, you know, kind of freak outs where she'll run around in circles and she'll jump around and you know, and when she tries to tame her down, then she gets a little nippy. Though she hasn't bit her or anything like that, but she's definitely showed some anxiety towards her about that. And so, you know, we're kind of struck for why this is. And we recently found out she has some, you know, has some kind of a infection that we're giving her antibiotics for, just something with her digestive tract. And so the vet thought that it might have something to do with it, that maybe that was irritating her. But I'm kind of concerned because I've heard things about, you know, dogs, you know, only being obedient towards one person in the family. And so just a little
curious. Does a dog do anything else with your wife that's disobedient?
I mean, she doesn't really listen to her when she tells her to sit, but she only listens to me half the time when I tell her to sit. I think she may even have trouble hearing her voice, but she really doesn't respond to any of the commands, you know, that my wife gives.
You know, I don't buy that they only obey one person. They only listen to one person.
Yeah.
They don't.
Yeah, because, you know, Jim could take my dog and she'd sit there, do whatever he wanted
right.
her to do. So it's not that she obeys you and not your wife. There's something going on, some dynamic that's occurring there, and I'm going to make a quick suggestion.
Okay.
I'd go out and buy a gentle leader.
We have one, actually.
Okay, and does your wife use it?
Yes.
And then how is your dog able to jump and spin while she's wearing a gentle leader?
Now, this is not it's a gentle leader, and it doesn't go around her nose. It just is that the one that you're talking about, the one that goes
the head halter. Are you using the body harness?
Yeah, it's a body harness. It's made by Gentle Leader, but
I've not used that. I've seen them used, and I've talked to people, and some like the head harness better than the body harness.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that I'd put her on the Gentle Leader head harness.
Yeah, you know, I was a little hesitant to get that because whenever a fire engine or something like that passes, she loses all of her inhibitions and she tries to jump at it, and I was afraid she'd break her neck if she did that. But
well, that's what I've always said.
Jim doesn't like them.
If they called them the canine neck wrenchers, no one would buy them, so they call them the gentle leader.
Well, I'm suggesting gentle leader because of the subduing effect it has, not the control factor, but the fact that it makes them it causes them to assume a more subordinate attitude. And I know this for a fact because I used it myself on one of my dogs.
I'm going to take a different tack.
Sure, I think that's good.
If what you've described doesn't sound to me like a dog being disobedient, that can easily, and I'd have to see it, you know, but it can easily be an invitation by the dog to play.
Mm-hmm.
You can see it in a lot of dogs. They suddenly go kind of goofy and they run around with their butts kind of low to the ground.
Oh, tuck butt,
Or they play bow. And I know some people think that dog is being aggressive because very often they'll growl while they're doing this. But it's just it's an invitation to play. The fact that the dog gets nippy, if a dog wants to play and you start using your hands, the dog has only one tool, really, and that's its mouth.
Right.
So if it's going to play, it's going to nip at your hands.
Right.
That can also be, you know, an aggressive dog. It can be a lot of things, but...
You can't tell without seeing it.
Yeah, so that's why I asked, well, what else does the dog do besides kind of running around? And if the dog is wagging its tail and seems to be full of the joie de vivre, then you might say, well, it's really wanting to play. The fact that the dog won't sit, let's say, is an example. When your wife says sit, could be more in... You know, if you give, and we're calling them commands, but really they're behavioral signals. You know, you say sit, and the dog sits. Well, if your wife says sit and the dog doesn't sit, maybe she hesitates a lot longer than you do to reinforce that.
Right.
So the dog is waiting for that second or third sit before it sits. Whereas with you, you say sit, dog doesn't sit, you reinforce it and say, oh, this is what I mean right away. It's very much like little children where, and I don't want to be accused of sexism, but mom is a lot nicer. It says, you know, clean your room, and you don't. And she may say it two or three times, Whereas when Dad comes in, he says, clean your room. And at least at my house, you better clean your room, you know, because Dad said it.
Right.
Whereas Mom is more negotiating with you and saying, clean your room, please.
Right.
And
it is true when I think
so,
about
and,
it.
So, and so if your wife is giving what we call a command and the dog isn't responding, she may be trying to think of other ways to get the dog to sit rather than just saying, you know, pop up, push down, sit.
Yeah.
It could be a training difference, not a disrespect difference.
Yeah.
She, you know, so that could be. So, but that's just a suggestion. If that's the only thing the dog is doing is kind of scooting around, I don't think that's a dominance problem or a disrespect problem. I think, in fact, no offense to you, it probably means the dog likes her better than you because it wants to play with her. It doesn't want to play with you. So, she, you know, it's just a different way of looking at it. But we'd actually have to see the behavior. But that,
yeah.
I suspect the dog's playing.
Yeah, and kind of experiencing it and seeing it, it's very hard for me to say definitively whether it is playing. I mean, it seems like it's somewhere in between because she enters this ultra hyper state of, and it seems like, you know, she won't really respond to anything. She moves very quickly. If you make an advance towards her, she generally
is she on lead. Is she on the lead at this time?
Yes.
Okay, don't do anything.
Uh-huh.
You know, just stand there, keep your hands, or have your wife keep her hands in close to your body, hanging on to the lead for dear life, because the dog is going to, but the point is that, and what kind of dog was this, about how big?
Well, pit mix.
She's a pit mix, but she's only about 40 pounds, and she's a very small 40 pounds.
Well, they can jump pretty high, but any dog of any kind regards hand play as play.
Mm-hmm.
And keep away and, you know, can I nip your finger and then run over here? You can easily teach the dog that inadvertently. So my suggestion is don't use your hands. Just pull your hands in
that's
and just stand there. And pretty soon the dog's going to say, oh, you don't want to play. Well, this isn't any fun. And then she should calm down.
Okay. Hey, well, thank you guys very much.
And when she calms down, pop a cookie in her mouth.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Don't give her a cookie otherwise.
Okay.
Yeah, she's got to calm down. And be prepared for the dog to jump on you a lot and scratch and whine. And you know, until it calms down, you just stand there.
She gets enough. Okay, hey, thank you so much, guys.
You're very welcome. That's something Jan Fennell talks about is the calming routine. You don't do anything.
And that's what the general leader does, too. You know, it calms them down.
Yeah.
It does.
You just stop.
You just stop and don't do anything. You don't move. You don't look at them. You don't talk. Just
well, and the funny thing is, especially friendly, happy dogs, they'll go into this scooting around just for no reason.
Oh, it's I think it's hilarious to watch.
It's a lot of fun.
But not when you're on the end of a leash. It's fun to watch in the yard.
I couldn't say, if you do X, Y, and Z, the dog will do this behavior. They just kind of do it all
the time. It's just on a whim. Butt tuck. It's so cute. Around and around and around and around and around. And then they'll slam into you, but this time they're going like 40 miles an hour and then round and round.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Every dog's different, but I've got a couple that, you know, spin around and then they run right into me. And that's their game. And I go, please don't do that.
Please
don't.
It's brace yourself.
Dog.
You know what's coming.
A Malamute hits you.
Yeah, it hurts.
That's like a train. Okay.
Oh, we still have one more person.
We're not going to be able to talk with them.
And we had somebody else that hung up.
So
they have to call back in August.
Yep.
August.
Call back
oh, my
in
goodness.
August. And in the meantime, get out to the pup parade.
Tomorrow morning, 8:30, Irvin Park in Tuscola.
Okay. And that the proceeds from that, the registration goes to help the folks in Douglas County.
Build a very needed animal shelter.
Shelter. Okay. Very good. We'll see you two in August. First Friday in August.
My goodness.
Dog trainers Carol Lindholm and Jim Keel, they are with the Dog Training Club of Champaign-Urbana. They join us on the first Friday of the month.